Church, how are you doing today? Doing good? So glad to be here. Hey, I will ask Pastor Ethan to read the text for me.
Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate."
Thank you, Pastor. I want to say thank you to Pastor Trevor for having me again. This guy is courageous. Inviting a French guy that don't speak English, it needs to be courageous to do that. I'm so happy for our friendship and for the relationship we have between our churches. And I want to say a big thank you to you guys, because you're supporting us for a lot of years. And in 10 years, with your love and support, we had planted 6 churches around Montreal. 6 churches, baptized 1,000 people. This would not be possible without your help. And now we're planting a new one, and you have a huge part in that. So please, when you come to Canada, when you come to Montreal, please visit La Chapelle. Today, my title is How to Return to God. Have you ever lost something? Your keys? Your phone? Your kid? Now, some of you are thinking, how can we lose a kid? If you're thinking that, there's only one explanation for that. You don't have kids. Because kids are like ninjas. They disappeared without leaving a trace. But what do you do when you are lost? Sometimes in life, we make wrong turns. We make wrong decisions. And we get lost spiritually. And the text is clear. Lost equal dead, found equal alive. This may surprise you, but if you are far from God right now, you are dead. You say, "No, I'm not. I'm a Christian. I come to church. I don't care." If you are far from the Father, if I am far from the Father right now, I am lost. I am dead. It's not because you think, you speak, or you move that you are alive. Not at all. The thing that makes you alive is to have this close connection, this close relationship with the Heavenly Father. Some people are so convinced they are alive that they're not searching for real life. Some people are so convinced that they have a great life that they are contented with merely existence. And they're okay to be dead if God comes and just puts some spices on their life to make their life a bit better, to make their life a bit more successful, but they are still dead. How many times in my own life, as a Christian, as a pastor, I was convinced to be alive, but I was dead. When we think about death, we think about non-existence. But when you look at Jesus, you realize that death looked like us. Death looked like envy and jealousy, and anger and bitterness, and depression and addiction. Death looked like a life without peace, a life without hope, a life without a close relationship with God. But there is good news for all of us that are lost spiritually, all of us that took wrong turns in life. There is still time to return to God. Turn to your neighbor and said this: there is still time to return to God. Said that to somebody. Come on, do it right now. There is still time for you. The story said a man had two sons. The younger one said to his dad, "Give me my inheritance." And the dad said, "Yes." That's surprising. In our culture, that would be an offense, right? But in this culture, this is unthinkable. It is like the son would say to his dad, "Die. I want you to die." Now, at this moment, I can guarantee you, Jesus had the full attention of his audience. Full attention. The tax collector probably thought, "Oh, we are bad. But this kid, he's more bad than we are." The Pharisees are thinking, "I hope this dad will slap his son to shame him publicly." But surprisingly, this father, this patriarch, said yes to the request, and he gave him his inheritance. And the son sells everything, and he went in a far country. He's traveling in the most expensive hotel room. He goes to the most popular nightclubs. He pays for everybody. He brings back 3-4 girls every night. A life of sex, drug, and rock and roll. And then he squandered everything. He wasted everything. He lost everything. And he find himself forced to work for a pig breeder. For a Jew, this was the most humiliating job you can find, because Jewish people considered pigs as impure animals. And he find himself in a poverty that is so abject that he would desire to eat the pig's food. But his boss did not allow him to do it. He hits the bottom. He did. When you hit the bottom, you hang out with the wrong people. When you hit the bottom, you call some people friends, and they are not real friends. But one day, this young man came to his senses, and he realized he was so well treated in the father's house. He realized even his dad's employees had better life than he had. Sometimes you need to hit rock bottom to realize that the thing you were looking for is the thing you already had. Sometimes you had to hit the bottom to realize that maybe the happiness you were looking for, the job you were looking for, the spouse, the husband you were looking for, was the thing you already had. So he realized that. He got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, His father saw him and began to run to him. Now, Jesus got their attention again because the audience is thinking, running? Men don't run. Kids run, women's run, but men don't run. In fact, in those days, the more important you were, the more slowly you walked. It explains why some of you guys are walking slow. You think you're really important, right? But this father is running. He is not like a typical patriarch of the first century. Why? The father is running. Three reasons. Here's the first. He runs out of compassion. For months and years, he was waiting for his son to come back. And one day he sees somebody far away and he recognizes that this is his son, and his heart is filled with compassion. I remember years ago when my son, Zach, broke his arm. His friend knocked on the door and said, "I think Zach broke his arm." And I begin to run. He was at the park. It was a mile away. I begin to run without shoes on the street, on the mud, on the grass. And when I arrived there, I saw his arm was like a banana. And my heart just melted. It was like, boom. I was so moved with compassion at this time. Let me tell you this. Your Heavenly Father, when he sees you with a broken arm, with a broken leg, with a broken heart, with a broken life, he is filled with compassion for you. And he begins to want to run toward you. He runs out of compassion. But here's the second reason. He runs to bear the shame on himself. In these days, men wear long robes because it was a shame to show your legs. Time has changed, right? Yeah. It was a shame to show your legs. So if the father wants to run, the only thing he could do is to take his robe, show his legs, and put shame on him. Now, this is intentional. Because the shame is on the son. And by doing that, the father is putting the shame on himself. I want to tell you, this is exactly what Jesus did on the cross. Our sins, our mistakes, our shame were placed on him. At the cross, you can be forgiven of anything. Any horrible, any shameful, dirty, nasty sin can be forgiven at the cross. But the cross does more than forgiveness. It takes out your shame. You don't have to live with shame. If you come to Jesus, he can bear that on him. He runs out of compassion. He runs to bear the shame. But thirdly, he runs to prevent his son from the exclusion ceremony. What's that? Dr. Kenneth Bailey. He is a scholar, brilliant scholar, and he studied that text for years. And he studied the historical background of that text. And in this parable, it is not explicit, but implicitly, when Jesus tells the story, people think of a custom in those days that they called kezeza, or some people call it keza. What it was? When a young man lost his inheritance with non-Jewish people, when he came back home, the whole village gathered around him. And the elders of the village will hear his repentance. And if they decide his repentance was genuine, they would restore him in the community. But if they decided that his repentance was not genuine, they performed this ceremony called keza. They took a pot of clay like this, kind of like this, and it was filled with grain. And if they decided that his repentance was not genuine, in a dramatic, symbolic gesture, they took the pot and smash it at the feet of the young men. And this was a way to say, this is how you break our trust. This is how you break our hearts. This is how you break our community. The damages cannot be repaired. Now let your life be like this broken pot of clay. You are not welcome here anymore. You are not part of this family anymore. You are cut off. You are Keza. Now, what in the text is telling us that he lost the inheritance with pagans? The fact that he was working at feeding pigs. This is the clue that tells us. So here's the third reason why the father is running. Because he wants to get to his son before the son got to the elder. Because if the father come first, he got the right to say what will happen with his son. This is exactly what Jesus did at the cross, what the father did. He took the clay pot and he smashed it at the feet of the cross. And he began to run toward us. Let me tell you, the greatest run in history is not Usain Bolt making the record at the 100 meters. No. The greatest run in history is the Lord Jesus Christ when he was crucified on Calvary, when he was sacrificed to the wrath of God. This is the greatest run of history. Jesus runs for you, folks. Can we clap for Jesus this morning, church? Come on. He is the greatest runner of all time. Who ran first? The Father. When you come back to God, it's only because God come to you first that you can come to God. The only reason you can run to the Father is because the Father run to you first. The only reason you can have faith is because he gave you the gift of faith first. The only reason you can repent this morning is because he gave you the gift of repentance first. The only reason you can love God is because he loved you first. God is always the one who runs first. And some of you this morning, God is running after you, and you don't even see it. Some of you should be dead. Some of you took so much risk, so much drugs. Some of you should be dead right now, and you are here. It's because God is running after you. Some of you were invited today because somebody's going to get baptized. And you think you're here because you were invited? Yes. You think you're here because you decided to be here? Yes. But you're primarily here because God is running after you. Christianity is not about you running to God first. It is about God running to you first. So this son said, I'm going back home. And he makes a plan. But not only he makes a plan, but he makes a speech. He prepared a speech. He said, I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And thirdly, make me like one of your servants. So when he arrived at the village, he expected Keza. But when he saw his dad running to him, the dad embraced him. The dad welcomed him, kissed him, welcomed him. The dad said, bring the best robe, because the dad knew that people will spit on his son. But if they see the son with the robe of the father, they will have to respect the son. The dad said, bring the robe. The dad said, bring the ring, because the ring was like the credit card of the dad. He was restoring his son fully in the family's business. This dad said, bring the shoes, because in those days, only slaves didn't have shoes, and he was barefoot, and he was broken to see his son as a slave. He was making the statement, my son is not a slave. Bring shoes, bring the fattened calf, Kill it. We're going to have a party. Instead of Keza, he got the embrace of the father. He got the kiss of the father, the robe of the father, the ring of the father, the shoes of the father. Instead of exclusion, he got celebration. And he had this plan. And he had this speech. Let me tell you this. You can return to God today. Amen. You can do this. The Bible called that repentance. In the Old Testament, the word sub means to turn, to return, to turn back. In the New Testament, there's similar words, but they means to turn or return, a complete reorientation of the person. You need to repent if you want to get back to God. Repentance was the first message of John the Baptist. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. Repentance was the first message of Jesus. He said, repent and believe the good news. The Bible is clear. Without repentance, there is no salvation. And we need not shallow repentance, but deep, real repentance. Now, what it is? It's this. First, it's conviction. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, and he said that the Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. And when the Holy Spirit is in you, he will convict you of things. There are things you were proud of that now you're ashamed of. Conviction. Also, it is confession. You confess to God and you confess to people, I have sinned. I was wrong. Thirdly, is contrition. You express regrets. You express remorse. And fourth, it is change. Repentance requires change. It's a 180. I change direction. True repentance is conviction, confession, contrition, and change. This is a wonderful gift that God wants to give you to allow you to come back to Him. Do you need to repent today? I'm not talking not only for non-Christians. I'm talking to church members every week, churchgoers, do you need to repent today? I know you repented 15 years ago when you gave your life to Christ, but every day we need to repent. If we don't, we're lost. Our souls are dying. Lost is not just something in the afterlife. Lost is something that I can be right now on this platform. If I'm far from the Father, but yeah, I'm saved, I'm washed in blood, I don't care. If you are far, if this heart is far from His heart, right now, there's something in me that is dying. And I need to repent. And I need to go back to the Father. But He wants to give me, now, at this moment, the beautiful gift of repentance. Now, I got a question for you. At what moment in the story do you think that the son repented? At what moment he repented? I read this story hundreds of times, and I always thought that he repented in verse 17. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. I thought this is the moment that he repented, but Dr. Bailey said no. He said that the words he speaks don't demonstrate repentance. He said, I will go to my father. He did not said, I will return to my father. If he used those words, it would demonstrate real repentance. But at this time, it showed us that his repentance is still shallow. Now, maybe you're not sure about that. Okay, let me give you another clue. What are the first words of his prepared speech? They are this. I have sinned against heaven and before you. Now, when we read that, we don't have a clue. But Jesus' audience is primarily scribes and Pharisees. Those guys had memorized the whole Bible. So when Jesus said those words, I have sins against heavens and before you, they know he is quoting somebody in the Old Testament. Who? Pharaoh. Pharaoh is the one that said those words in Exodus chapter 10. And he said that after the eighth plague. He said that to Moses, I have sins against the Lord and against you. My question is, does Pharaoh's repentance was real? No, not at all. He was just in a mess. And he wanted the mess to be fixed. He didn't have a real repentance. This was not deep repentance at all. You know, real repentance is not just, God, bring me out of this. I want a better life than this. This is not deep repentance. Now, watch this. His repentance is still shallow. He got his speech. He is ready. He will say three things. I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. So he went to his dad, but his dad ran to him and loved him and embraced him. And then he began to say his prepared speech. He said what? I have sins against heavens and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And there's a third part that he prepared. But treat me like one of your servants. But does he say that part? No. Do you know why? He cannot say, treat me as one of your servants, because he is already treated like a son. And this is the moment. This is the moment that he realized that his plans, his speeches, his efforts to pay back his father are worth nothing. The real repentance is not just, God, get me out of this. The real repentance is this. I want to restore a relationship with you. I want to be close to you, God. This is real repentance. This text is teaching us we deserve exclusion. We deserve to be cut off. We deserve keza. But God the Father took the clay pot and threw it at the feet of the cross. And he said to God the Son, you are cut off. You are excluded. You are Keza, he was cut off so we can be welcome. He was excluded so that we can be included. He was Keza so that we could be saved. Let me tell you, on the authority of scriptures, it is possible for you today to repent because of Jesus. He is there. He's waiting for you. He's running to you. He embraces you. He forgives you. He heals you. He restores you. He wants to have a mega party with you in the house. Are you going to come? He's running to you. Are you going to run to him? Maybe you're lost. He's looking for you. Day and night, waiting for you. About 15 years ago, my wife was shopping at Sears. And she was with our three kids. We got Anthony 5 and Zach 3. And the little Leah was in the stroller. And she was looking for clothes. And my wife, she's always careful with the kids, okay? She always counting 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Every minute, you know, 1, 2, 3. Yeah, some of you moms, you know what I'm talking about, right? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. And at one point, she was just distracted just a couple seconds. I don't know how long. It was really short, I'm sure. But she did that. 1, 2. And there was no 3. And you know what? One of our kids was missing. And in our family, when one kid is missing, it is always the same kid. Zach. So at first, you don't panic, right? At first, you just begin to, you stay calm. You say, Zach, Zach, where are you, Zach? No answer. So when you got no answer, what you do? The tone get more serious, right? So she went from Zach, Zach, to Zachary. Zachary, where are you, Zachary? But there was no Zachary. So the tone get more serious a bit, and she went from Zach to Zachary to Zachary Potier. You know when your mom calls you by your full name? You know you're in trouble, right? We do that as French people. When your mom say your full name, you know you should obey. So Zachary Potier, come to see mommy right now. But there's no Zachary. There's no Zachary. So other customers begin to notice that my wife was panicking, and they come to us and say, ma'am, can we help? She said, I lost my boy. He's 3 years old. His name is Zach. Can you help me? And they begin to search with her. So my wife is looking for Zach. The clients, the customers are looking for Zach, but there's no Zach. And at one point, one of the employees noticed all that chaos, and she came and she offered help to find Zach. So now we got my wife and the customers and the employee looking for Zach, but there is no Zach. So after a couple of minutes, the employee took the phone and she called the security team. It took about 1 minute. It was on the second floor. The security team came out of the elevator. The two doors opened, and there were five guys. You know, five guys that surrounded my wife and say, ma'am, you have lost your kid. Yes. What is his name? His name is Zach. How old is he? He's 3 years old. Okay. What does he wear? He wear blue jeans and blue shirt. All right. So the guy took a talkie, and he said, close the door of the stores. The store, nobody comes out. And then he said to the guys, guys, let's go find Zach. And they dismissed, and they let my wife just there with little Anthony and little Leon the stroller. So you don't know my wife. She's small and short, but she's strong-willed, okay? And my wife will not stay there doing nothing while other people are looking for her son, okay? She looked at Anthony 5 and she said, Anthony, you stay close to me. You push your sister in the stroller. We are going to get your brother. And she began to walk really fast, you know, 5'1", like really fast. And little Anthony was trying to push the stroller behind her, but he had a hard time. And his brother, he was so close to him, he began to panic and he began to cry. We lost my brother! We lost my brother! And he was more intense and more intense. We lost my brother! We lost my brother! And he was running like crazy with the stroller, screaming, we lost my brother! We lost my brother! It was so annoying that at one point, my wife just stopped and said, Anthony, it's enough! And then they're looking everywhere for Zach, but there's no Zach. At one point, they arrive close to the restroom area, and there was a security guy. And an old man comes out of the bathrooms, and the security was said to the man, sir, is there a little boy in there? And the old man said, I never touch any little boy of my... Poor man, he was just... He was not guilty of anything, right? So there's no Zach in the restroom. Everybody's looking for Zach. There is no Zach. So 5 minutes goes, 6 minutes goes, 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes. Let me tell you, after 10 minutes of losing your kid, you are dying on your feet, okay? You are melting down inside. And then, after they looked everywhere, they went back to a place that they already looked because there's no place to look. And under a display, it was a clothes display, one of the employees find out a little Zach squatting. And he was afraid to come out of his hiding because so much people he didn't know was calling his name. So he didn't want to get out. So they took him, they called my wife, and my wife began to cry. She's crying the joy of her life. Because my son that was lost was now You know, it's not the only time we lost him. When he was six, we lost him in New York City. That's something, I'm telling you. But it's not the only time we lost him. When he was 18, we lost him again. But we did not lose him physically this time. We lost him spiritually. My son, that grew up in church, grew up in faith, began to have bad friends, make wrong turns, and he was far away from God. And we prayed, and we prayed, and people with us prayed, and we loved him, and we prayed, and we loved him, and we prayed for months and months and months and months. And one day, something began to shift. He left all the friends that had bad influences on him. He left them, began to come back to church, because he was not just only far from God, he was not only far from church, he was not only far from us, his parents, he was far from himself. Because when you are far from God, you lose your own identity. You don't know who you are anymore. And you try to put some false identity on yourself because you're far from God. The only way to find yourself is not to do what you want. The only way to find yourself is to get back to the Father's home. It's the only way. So he came back. And now it's been almost a year. He's in fire from God, for God. Last fall, we baptized him. It was our privilege, my wife and I, we baptized him. And now he's such in fire for God. We do Bible study 3 times per week, friends. He's just out of a week with you with a mission, and they read the whole Bible in a week. He's in fire for God. He wants to serve God. He walks with God. He loves God. Now my son that was lost is found again, and we rejoice. And let me tell you, if you are far from God, this is hope for you. You can repent today. You can come back to the Father today. He's waiting for you. He's already running toward you. The question is, will you run to him? It's time to come back to the Lord. It's time to repent. It's time to come back home for you. And it's hope not only for you far from God, but it's hope for you that got a prodigal son, prodigal daughter, prodigal brother, prodigal sister, prodigal husband, prodigal wife. It is hope for you that it is possible that with prayer and love, they will come back to the house of the Father. So today, don't stay far away. He runs to you, runs to him in Jesus' name. And can we clap for the greatest runner of all time, the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on. Amen. Can we stand up? We're going to pray. I want to pray today. Can we close our eyes? Just stand up in reverence, please. Some of you here, you need to make a decision. You're far from God. Maybe you're out of church and you've been through so much and you became somebody you never thought you could be. When you look in the mirror, you see somebody you don't recognize because you're far from the Father's heart. And it's time to come back to him. Or maybe you're far from God, but you are in the house of the Father. But your heart is so far from him. You're lost. If you're far from him today, as we all have closed eyes, I just want to give you an opportunity to run to the Father. So if it's you, while everybody got closed eyes, you say, I need to come back to the Father. I need to run to the Father today. Just raise your hand where you are before God. Just raise your hand where you are. Don't be ashamed. Yes. Yes. You can put it down. Somebody else say, I need that. I'm in church. I'm out of church. My heart is so far from Him. I didn't ask, do you believe the good things? I didn't ask, do you have a good theology? I didn't ask if you have the right beliefs. I'm asking you, is your heart is far from His heart? You need to come back to the Father's heart today. Just raise your hand where you are. Thank you. And for those of you who got prodigals, if you got a prodigal, can you just, it could be a father, daughter, it could be a father, could be a son, could be a sister, somebody in your family that is a prodigal, could be your wife, your husband. Can you just raise your hands before the Lord where you are? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. So much of us have people. We want to pray for you. And we want to pray for them. Lord, I pray for every soul here. Those who are far and those who know somebody that is far. I pray that they will realize today by the power of the Holy Spirit that you are running to them. And I pray that in faith, in repentance, they will start running to you. In Jesus' name. And all the church says, amen. Can we clap again for the greatest runner? The Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, let's sing together. Run to the Father.